Welcome to the March 14th Community Services and Safety Committee meeting. I'm Kathy Hogarty. I'm the chair, and I have with me Mohammed Abdi, council member, who is also a member of this committee. And Tosh Sharp, we're looking for him to be showing up anytime now, so you may see him come in. So we have two items on the agenda, which are for our discussion only. The first is an update on Tukwila Works, also called C-Click Fix. And it's the relaunch of the reporting tool. And Naisha, welcome. And Naisha's going to tell us about this.
Well, good evening, council members and guests. My name is Naisha Fort Brooks with the Administrative Services Department. I'm here to provide a brief history of the Tukwila Works, known as C-Click Fix online reporting tool, and update on the relaunch. The Tukwila Works is a web and app-based online reporting tool for residents and guests to report a city issue. The city brought this online reporting tool in 2016. The mobile app is accessible on iPhone and Android. Users who prefer the mobile app method have the accessibility to report city issues in a real time. Once the issue is submitted, an email will notify the city departments to acknowledge and close the issue once resolved. The issuer will receive an email confirmation of the status update. The city staff acknowledges that not all residents and community members own a mobile device, and the city continues to offer traditional ways of reporting, which are by phone, email, and in person. In 2020, the city disabled the online reporting tool due to the coronavirus pandemic and costs associated with the budget. The Technology and Innovation Service Department developed an internal reporting tool to help streamline this process. And in 2021, city staff presented to the committee and the council on the workaround mechanisms city staff is using to address these city issues. City staff was asked to revisit the C-Click Fix mobile app, given this popularity within the Tukwila community. And the C-Click Fix mobile app successfully relaunched earlier this month. So that concludes my brief update on the C-Click Fix app. And I'm open for any questions.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Sharp, we're on item 1A of the agenda. So I'll start with Mohammed. Do you have any questions about this?
Yes. First of all, thank you so much for giving us the update. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you as well. It's our first time meeting. My quick question was, you guys you talked about that you guys did the relaunch on the 21st. Was it being the relaunch? When was it initially? Because you guys started at 2016, like, I was hoping to know, like, the gap in between, like, when you got, before you guys relaunched, what exactly, how long did it take for you guys to work on it before you guys relaunched it, basically?
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Councilmember Poppy, they brought on C-Click Fix in 2016, and I highlighted all the key benefits that our various departments utilize. And so when the pandemic occurred, our technology innovation department developed an internal tool, which was used as known as the Centel form. It pretty much copycatted the same methods of when a resident went to our website and submitted the online form, it would be directed to, let's say, our police department or to our Parks and Rec department and our Public Works department. So that has been used ongoing throughout the pandemic. And then when we came to council in 2021 and this committee, we were asked to revisit. It took a couple of months to collaborate with our vendor, C-Click Fix, and just to make sure that there's all the integrations would work. And then we did staff training with various departments who will be utilizing this tool or who have utilized this tool in the past. So many of our staff members were familiar with it. As well as our residents, it's pretty intuitive once you download the app and put in the city of Tukwila into the app, and then you will be able to view and report online issues. I hope that answers your question.
That's my question, yeah, especially the part you were talking about when you guys it took a few months to try to work out like how you guys would send the information to the vendors, and then when you guys were training your staff, it was more in particular that one. I just had a hard time trying to basically make it clear. But I appreciate you got to it, so I appreciate that. And the second question is, you guys also talked about like you guys used the City of Tukwila Community Center banner and things like that. The logo.
Yes, we did use the logo.
I guess my quick question was like, are you guys able to give some of the information to like some of the places like the community center where people, you know, could get things maybe not only just on like you know on the device, but they can get it in hand. I guess you could say, like, you know, the information like printed.
Outreach efforts.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like places where we have our residents, like where they go for stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, when I went to the community center, like that's how I get like a newspaper, like the Tukwila Reporter. You know, sometimes, and I know that some people now everybody is always online, like you said. I know you guys have like the iPhone users and the Android users, but sometimes people like to collect their information like on physical hand. You know, so I was guessing my question is, if you guys do the outreach at the community center.
That's a great question. I'm really glad that you brought that up. So currently we've updated our website and have done some communication with our social media efforts. We still have ongoing, since it's still early in March, jumping ahead, to do more outreach. So that will be specifically using the residential newsletters, which is the Hazelnut, the e-Hazelnut. We will also create information to share with the Tukwila School District. I will also be going up to some Foster High School civic classes to talk about the C-Click Fix to engage with our young leaders there. Additionally, it will go into the senior newsletter. And then also word by mouth is really important. And you as elected officials are able to share with your constituents as well of the mobile app that's available. We greatly appreciate it.
I love that. Thank you so much for saying that, because I know outreach is very, very tough. You know, I'm learning how hard it is in all departments, all capacities. But I love how you mentioned that you guys are doing like the residential e-letters and, you know, the senior newsletters like that. I think those are really good plans in place, you know, so I really like that. Thank you so much. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Tosh, questions, comments?
Yes, I apologize for being late. Maybe you may have answered the question during your brief, but I just wanted to know if you can track how many people actually use this app when it was functional, and can you do that now?
Yes, we have been able to track in the past. We have a reporting tool. It also breaks it down by each neighborhood, which is very helpful to see who's utilizing the app or not. And then it will also address the categories of the C-Click Fix. So for an example, animal control to public works to traffic calming measures or speeding or illegal parked cars. So we do keep track of all of that, and we have kept track of it in the past, and city staff will update this committee as we go throughout the rest of the year and the council as a whole.
The second question I have is how many staff members are needed in order to maintain this system? I don't know if you answered it. Again, if you answer the question, you don't have to answer it again, but how many people on average does it take to maintain this app as far as responding and maintaining?
Oh, that's a great question. So I manage the online platform. However, let's say for an example, you, Council Member Tosh, notice a pothole in the street. You submit it through C-Click Fix. You take a picture. It gets submitted through our Public Works Department. They will address it within 24 to 48 hours, depending on their workload and what they have prioritized through that day. But each department, prospective department, has a staff member that is attending these issues that are coming in. And then I also manage them daily to make sure that city staff also acknowledges them. If they're not able to do so, I can, to ensure that our residents receive the best customer service.
Great. And then the last question I have is, what does it cost to maintain this this system for the city of Tukwila? Do you have that number in front of you? Like, what is it? Is it an annual or monthly, whatever the cost is, as far as that and maintaining the app, the program? I'm sure there's a cost to have the app. What does that cost the city of Tukwila?
So So the app is included, so there's no cost to maintain that. That's part of our package. It is an annual cost. So for this year, because we're coming back to them, it was roughly, with including with taxes, I would probably say about $13,000 to $14,000. And then each year they'll reassess that that annual amount when we renew our contract.
Right. I think it's a wonderful app. So it was just things that citizens were asking about it. So I appreciate you letting us know that. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tosh. Mm-hmm. So those are good questions. I don't really have any other new questions. I just wanted to piggyback on something that Councilmember Mohammed said, and that is at the community center, they used to have those racks where they had all the information on that. And that's when you were talking, I was like, yeah, put that information in the racks. And because it's written, it might be easier to do a couple languages with that.
Yeah.
Because it's just more doable than things that are dynamic rather than static. You put it down information. So if they still have the racks, I used to go over and look through them and grab stuff. So if they're still there, that's an idea. That's all I had. Thank you. I commend the previous CSS committee, of which none of us were on. The three of us were not on that committee. So I commend them for recommending to bring this back. And then, of course, the entire council at the end of the year approved the funding for it to come back through ARPA. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, the second item on our agenda is for information only as well. It is the police department use of force review. I have that Eric Lund is going to present. There he is. All right. So we are ready to hear what you have to say.
Sure thing. Thanks, Jan. Also, I'm working on one screen, so I'm going to have Chief Trevor share the PowerPoint here in just a second. What we're reviewing is our annual use of force. This is the second year that we've done a complete review of use of force involving community representatives. These community representatives, just to refresh, were people that were initially chosen to be the community reps for the Valley Independent Investigative Team, which is related to officer-involved shootings. So the participants are the same as last year. It's Sean Good, Alan Howard, Ross Dwarman, and Sharon Michaelbus. And then we also included some of our defensive tactics instructors, and those were Sergeant Isaiah Harris, Detective Eric Kunzman, and Officer Eric Hines. So this year we met quarterly, which was better because last year we did everything. We did the entire year. So this was more, this is a little bit easier to have longer discussions. We reviewed just a few number of uses of force each quarter. So Chief, if you want to go ahead and share the PowerPoint. And just, I can't see if it's on there, so just let me know if it is.
I'd have to ask the others. Can you see the PowerPoint presentation?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so we'll go to the second slide, please. And what that is, this is a sample of a slide that I'll put up for the group, and it just gives a brief overview. This is an actual slide that we reviewed. I X'd out the address just to kind of keep it more private, but basically just some bullet points on the type of call it was, the type of force that was used, and then how the use of force was reviewed. And at the bottom, there's a video link, and I'll show them a clip of body camera or car camera if it's available, and they always are. So I won't show them the entire video, just a clip of what led up to the use of force and then the actual use of force. Next slide. And you can see for this year, or for 2021, we had 34 uses of force, which was a 37% reduction from last year. Which was 54 uses of force. And if you go back to 2016, we had 260 uses of force in 1 year, which is an 86% reduction from that year. So 2017, body cameras are implemented, and then we've gone through a lot of de-escalation training, and we'll just continue with that. So if you go down to the next slide, our calls for service. In 2021, we had a 4% increase in calls for service and a decrease in use of the force, which is good. And all calls responded to, that force was used in 0.1% of all calls responded to. We cleared 755 calls with an arrest, which is 29% decrease from the year before. We cleared 439 calls with a code indicating a possible mental health issue, which was 11% decrease. So in all total, arrests and mental health codes, it's a 24% decrease from the year prior. There's just another interesting stat. Force was used in 2.8% of calls involving an arrest or a possible mental health issue. And then 33 of the 34 incidents reviewed and were determined to be within policy. One that was not found to be, well, it was within policy, but the officer could have benefited from some mentoring and coaching. And it involved, it wasn't the force that was used, but one of the people that force was used on claimed to be pregnant. So there was some discussion about what our policy was, but there wasn't a violation of policy. None of the community reps had any issues with any of the uses of force, which was good. And so, like I said, all the uses of force are reviewed by a supervisor, a commander, and then myself. So there's a lot of review and also the citizens. So that's about it for my presentation. We can put the PowerPoint back up if you have any questions on it specifically. But that's it. Any questions?
I'll start with Council Member Tosh.
Yes, Chief, I read through it. It's outstanding. You folks are able to do your job and do it a little more safe. I'm not implying anything. It's just, it's a full contact profession, and the fact that you guys don't have to do it as often, that's outstanding work. So I just say, great news. What do you think the biggest thing that your department has done that has kind of increase this trend? Like, what would you point to? Like, this is the one thing right here, this particular tool, this training, this, I know it's a combination, but if you were to pick the first thing in your mind that you're thinking of right now is why your department functions this way, what would it be?
I honestly, the number one thing is training. We've spent a lot of hours training on de-escalation. And basically, in a nutshell, we're just telling the officers to slow down. And they're doing a really good job. And taking time to talk to people, you know, using some de-escalation tactics, which is time, distance, and shielding. And if you've been involved in that, you've heard that phrase before, where shielding is you put an object in between you and the person that you're dealing with. So there's not that clear path for them to assault you, or you have to defend yourself or use force. And it's just the time. I mean, we've had incidents that have gone on 3 or 4 hours. And it's come to a peaceful resolution. And one of the things, and I said it last year and I'll say it again, is the community representatives that we have are really impressed by the level of professionalism, and they've said compassion when the officers use force. Once it's over, they make sure that they're okay. They call the fire department if they need to, and we get them taken care of. It'd be nice if that number was zero, but you know, that's our goal, but that's pretty tall task to ask for. So, but training is for sure. We've really been hitting it hard on de-escalation and just slowing the situation down.
And if I could supplement that real quick, I agree wholeheartedly. It's training. And to put things in perspective, back when I first started, so 28 years ago, the training that we received all revolved around officer safety. And the ongoing narrative was, if somebody's willing to fight us, that's their decision. Therefore, we're justified in using force. And so we were trained, you give them one chance. If they don't comply or try and resist, at that point, that's where you try and take them to the ground, put them in custody. And the training that we were given, you know, was sweep the leg and or even throw a punch. Those are that's the way we were trained. And so it led to much more uses of force because there's no opportunity to de-escalate in that mindset. So over the years, we've learned, okay, we can use verbal judo, and things started to change. But then just after we implemented the body-worn cameras and the in-car cameras, we really started exploring de-escalation, crisis intervention training for those that are mentally disturbed. And you can see the results in the stats where year after year after year, they've been going down. So it began with training and the way we were trained multiple decades ago to where we are now. And our training has advanced so much, and we identify the psychology behind it. And we're able to do so much more and make it safer, not just for the officer, but for the people we're engaging in as well.
Great. I know that there's a tremendous challenge for you to do your job, especially since you're short staffed. But as far as the tools and the training that's needed to do your job, is the city providing those tools and training opportunities to you? Or is there any roadblocks? Or is it like, hey, if you guys need it, you guys get it?
No, there's no.
Yeah, we are receiving the training for those things that are mandated. Unfortunately, some of the mandates are forcing all of our attention towards the mandated training, which then takes away from our ability to train extracurricular or specialized training because we have to spend our money on that. But we hope to address it with the upcoming budget.
Very good. And Chief Lund, I can see that your conditions is very relaxing. I'm wondering, is there a pool table behind you? But you don't have to answer that on the record. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tosh. Councilmember Muhammad, questions and comments?
Yeah, thank you, Chief, for the presentation. I just want to say that you guys did a good job, just even like the whole presentation, and like it was. When I was reading it, like the PowerPoint slides, it was very easy to read, and I like how you guys organized it, so really appreciate you and your staff for doing that. I want to say, trying to, supplement, Councilmember Sharp's points, I like the where the numbers are going and, like, the results, you know what I mean? I think they're really outstanding, you know? I know your goal is to get zero. It's a tall task, but, you know, it shows, I like the improvements and the growth that we're taking. And my question was, you guys mentioned on the graph there, the 2.8% of the calls were on about mental health services. As a big mental health advocate myself, love to know what kind of training you guys do, or how do you guys respond to, you know, to try to be solution oriented in those mental health services calls. I'd love to know.
Right. So it's the same training, just de-escalation. We do touch on the mental health aspect of it in our last training that we had. And it's just, you know, the officers recognize that sometimes what you say isn't heard, especially when somebody's in crisis. So you have to find different ways to communicate. We're only using force on somebody in mental crisis when they're a danger to themselves or others. So it's gotten pretty dangerous to the point where they need to go get treatment. So there are a lot of times when somebody is in crisis, but if the officers don't determine they're an immediate threat to themselves, imminent threat to themselves or others, there's not much that we can do. We can ask them to go to the hospital, but they can refuse. So it's still, So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but it's still like I talked about how long sometimes it takes. There was an incident in 2020 where a subject was in crisis and it took 4 hours. The subject was armed with a machete sitting on a Harley Davidson for 4 hours. And it's just talking to, and finally it was detained without any force, which sometimes that could affect our ability to respond to other 911 calls. So sometimes we just ask, the residents. We usually let them know that there's going to be a delay because we're working on something, but that's kind of a consequence of having to slow down and take your time, is sometimes those 911 calls just have to hold for a while.
Thank you. No, you did answer my question. I appreciate it. I guess just to also add on to that, like you said that sometimes you guys recognize they just need treatment. What kind of treatment do they usually get in those types of matters?
What we can only do is send somebody to the emergency room at the hospital. That's where your mental health treatment has to start in this state. Last August, we hired on a mental health professional. She doesn't work 24 hours a day. So she only works noon to 10, I believe. So we only have her 40 hours a week. So, but they still need to go to the emergency room to start, but she has some other, because of her professional knowledge, she can get people to better services and treatment by documenting, or she knows how to write everything up so people can get the treatment they need.
Yeah, thank you so much for answering that question. I appreciate it. Like I said, I love the presentation. I like that you guys do quarterly. I like how you guys review it on three different levels. You know, I can't speak for other cities. I don't know if they, what type of format or what type of way they go about this, but I, you know, for me being a new person to this, I love you guys' approach and how you guys do it. So it speaks a lot about you guys' department and both you, Chief Beaver and Chief Lone. So thank you guys so much.
Welcome.
I don't have any further questions, but I had a couple of comments that I wanted to give some context to my fellow council members. And that is that in conversations with the police department, they've been asking for a mental health professional and putting that as a priority for I don't know how many years. But it's like they were sort of behind, before everyone else in asking for that. And I don't remember exactly how it happened that you were able to fund that position, but here we are, and we've got one. And I think that was the pilot program, and then we'll see where things go from there. So it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then my other comment, aside from thank you for the presentation and things are looking good, is I'm going to fast forward to the Committee of the Whole agenda, because I have the two of you here. In the agenda, there's something when it comes to the siting of the Bartels, and I don't know if you know this, but one of the questions is about citing the teen center, and this has to do with Bartels, the Bartels site specifically. If the space is unsafe, what is law enforcement doing to make it a safe place? And it says the Tukwila Police Department is actively working to make the community more safe, including the TIB neighborhood. Council members are encouraged to go on a ride along with the community policing team to learn more about the Tukwila Police Department's proactive efforts. And I'm going to say, yes, put me in. I want to put me on your schedule. And perhaps if my fellow council members might have done that on their onboarding, but maybe that's something that they'll be asking you in the future too. But I'm interested in that. And I thought I'd say it here rather than in the general meeting since you're right here. Other than that, I don't have any other comments except thank you. Do you have any other things that you can think of?
Well, yes, actually, just in regards to the ride along, I had the opportunity to ride with one of the officers, and it's very eye-opening as far as what they do, sitting in the car and just experiencing a smidge of what they do. It's a pretty tough thing that they have to do, and I encourage you to both to take an opportunity to take a ride along. The department was very kind and allowed me to do that, and they also allow that for other members of the community. Of course, you have to pass a background check, which was awesome. I passed. Load off my mind, guys. And I really, thanks. This is on the record. Okay. Anyway, thanks, Chief. Appreciate that. But it was great.
It's a joke, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Joke.
But just the thing, if you haven't been on a ride along, it's very eye opening. And I can tell you, the first time I ever went on a ride-along as a young pup, 21 years old, I went in with Seattle Police Department. I had a friend working there, and I remember it. It was very eye-opening, nerve-wracking, and scary all at the same time, but exciting. And I'm sure if you've never been in a police car going to calls, it'll be the same way for you. So we will make that happen. If you know, just let me know, and we can get it scheduled.
So Mo and I will we can just shoot them an email
and then
we'll from there we'll take it from there.
I'm already nervous. I'm not even doing it yet. Okay.
Okay. Since we have a little time, we have a guest that is going to school in the Midwest. Her name is Catherine. Do you have any questions, Catherine? Maybe you can say hi and tell us just like a minute about yourself and then ask any questions.
I'm Catherine. I'm from Ohio. Originally, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and then I moved to Dayton to go to Wright State for school. I'm studying social work, and I'm very excited because I graduate in April. That's very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions about maybe mental health? That's something maybe you could go into, right? If you wanted to. Yeah.
I don't think I have any questions, but it was very interesting to listen and hear everything that you guys are doing for your city. It was really eye-opening.
All right. Well, welcome, and thank you for choosing us to do your assignment with us.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. And thank you to staff for being here. And do my fellow council members have any other miscellaneous other things? All right. So we will be formally adjourned. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.